The time has come for me to take a break from actualize.org, and in this video I want to explain why that is and how this is going to work. So basically, I've been releasing videos pretty much nonstop now for about 5 years, since 2013. And releasing videos every single week is pretty grueling and pretty exhausting. I did pause for 1 month last May, where I did a 30-day meditation retreat, and that's basically what I'm doing again this time right now. So that's the plan, is to do a 30-day meditation retreat and then come back and reassess things and see how it is. So the reason that I'm doing this and the reason I'm sort of slowing down my releases with videos, you might have noticed, is because, keeping up with this schedule is quite challenging, especially because the videos are becoming more complex, more nuanced. I have to be more careful with the advice that I give, because as I become more conscious and more knowledgeable, I realize how tricky giving advice is. And my advice needs to become more nuanced and more careful. And so it takes a lot of time to study and to research all this stuff every single week. And that interferes with my own personal ability to grow myself. So running actualize.org is a very delicate balancing act, balancing between doing research, reading, formulating ideas, which is all very conceptual, puts me a lot in my mind. And then also at the same time, going deep into myself, doing consciousness work, doing inner work, meditating, contemplating, doing all this sorts of stuff, and actually working to embody the stuff that I talk about. Now, what a lot of people don't understand is that these are two totally distinct things. Just because I'm doing the talking part and the reading part and the researching part and presenting nice episodes for you, I can do all of that and completely neglect my own inner work. Conversely, I could just focus entirely on my inner work and not release any stuff for the public, for public consumption. And so these are two totally separate things. And this needs to be really understood, because it's really easy to just talk stuff, but then to not actually actualize it for yourself. And for me to really now actualize the stuff that I talk about, because we're getting into more advanced territory with the topics that I talk about, I require more time in solitude to just contemplate and meditate and really work to embody this stuff, which I've been doing. So it's not like I've been completely neglecting this part. I've been doing it all along. But it's just that I need to go deeper. And lately, over last year, I've been feeling more and more that I need to take serious time off, at least a month, maybe even a whole year, and just really go inwardly and focus on mastering various things that I've shared with you so that I could continue to share better insights in the future. So that's what these next 30 days for me are going to be about. It's going to be about taking what I did in May, but going much further. In May, I did only 15 days of the full 30 days that I wanted to do. It was very, very challenging. And so what's changed now? Well, again, I don't know how long I'm going to last. My intent is to go for 30 days straight. It's going to be a silent retreat, just by myself, totally solo, not under anyone's guidance, meditating and contemplating, and basically just observing myself, observing my own emotional reactions and so forth. Hopefully aiming towards a pretty big awakening experience, which I think I'm overdue for now. The difference is that over the last 9 or 10 months, since last May up to today, I've had a significant increases in my baseline level of consciousness. I experienced enormous growth just from those 15 days in May. And after that retreat, I released a lot of very deep content, deep videos, with doing Kriya Yoga, and with doing my brain training practices, and with meditation, and with self-inquiry. I've had breakthroughs in all these practices. My monkey mind has quieted down a lot. I've also been working on improving my health and my diet, and doing some detox, removing heavy metals from my body and from my brain, detoxing that. I'm still going through that process right now. So a lot of change and growth has occurred within me since May. And all I want to do is I just want to take it much deeper. And for that, I just need time by myself to really go into it. And so that's what's going to be happening here. In the future, I will be back. But in the future, the releases that I do, they're probably going to be slower. It may not be weekly releases. Maybe it'll be bi-weekly. Or maybe it will be weekly. I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, the releases will be less consistent, probably because what I'm noticing is that I care less about the consistency these days. I care less about the quantity of material that I release. I care more about the quality. And I care more about doing original research and putting out groundbreaking stuff that really moves mankind forward. And so for that, I just need more time to research it and also to make sure that the quality is there. So that's really all that's going on. And I also need more time to myself. Also, you know, with the way that YouTube works, there's a big pressure when you're launching a YouTube channel to be very consistent with your work. And pretty much I've tried to do that for the last 5 years. I was quite consistent, you know, missed a week here or there sometimes, but mostly quite consistent. And that was necessary to get Actualize.org up and running, to build a big audience, big subscriber base. But at this point, I'm at the point where I don't really care so much about that. I care more about my own spiritual development and then my ability to be a better teacher rather than just keep pumping out content on a weekly basis just for the sake of pleasing some YouTube audience or some YouTube algorithm or whatever else. So I'm kind of outgrowing that to a certain degree. I'm really outgrowing the need for having an audience, the need for getting subscribers, the need for having lots of views and clicks. Of course, these are all nice things. Success is nice. I still like success. But also, I mean, part of growing up, part of waking up is overcoming your materialistic desires. And the whole illusion of material success, whether it's sex or money or views or clicks or subscriber counts or whatever else, you basically outgrow it because you realize that it doesn't actually make you happy no matter how much you get. I could have 5 million subscribers and millions of views, but what, like, is it really going to do anything for me? No, it's not. The real value is in going deeper into the work. So I feel like this is all kind of natural. It just feels like a natural evolutionary curve that I'm going through. And so I will be beginning this 30-day meditation retreat. My plan is to last all 30 days without breaking or cracking, without turning to the TV or to internet or to chatting with friends or any of that kind of stuff. So that's my goal, you know, but you never know what happens on these retreats. They can be very, very challenging, and I expect this one to be challenging, but I also feel like I'm more prepared for it than I was for the previous one, because, you know, you always get experiences, even when you fail doing something, or you only succeed halfway, which is basically what happened last time, you learn a lot from those failures. You learn about your own weaknesses, and then the practices you do after, the practices that I've been doing for the last 10 months, those have all been kind of building me up and preparing me to now succeed on this next one. And that will be pretty exciting to see. What do I plan to be doing during these 30 days? I'm not going to be talking to any humans. I'm not going to be on the internet. I'm not going to be engaged in any kind of media. I'm not going to be reading any books or listening to any audiobooks. So basically a complete digital disconnection. I'm not going to be doing any work, so a disconnection from work, which is a big thing for me because I spend most of my time doing work. I'm not going to be coming up with new business ideas or new video ideas. I'm going to be focusing on just going deeply into myself and becoming more conscious. That's the plan. And what techniques will I be using to do this? Kriya Yoga. I plan to be doing two sets of Kriya Yoga every day, so it's about an hour and a half total of that. Each set lasts me, it takes me about 90 minutes. So actually, no, that's actually 3 hours. Yeah, if every set is 90 minutes, it's about 3 hours right there for two sets per day. And then I'm going to be doing about 3 hours of brain training using my EEG brain training machine, which is very effective for meditating. So I'll be doing that. So already that's what, 3 hours plus 5 hours, that's already 8 hours right there of training. And that's going to be a shitload. But also I'll just be doing mindfulness with labeling, that technique that I've shared with you in the past. I'll also be doing do nothing, just sitting and basically doing nothing. I'll also be doing some concentration practices, just focusing on an object like a candle flame or a metronome or just some visual object in the room. And I'll also be just contemplating various existential questions that I still have yet to answer. And also observing my emotional reactions. So some of the most tricky work within spirituality is to really be mindful and conscious of your emotions, to deconstruct your entire emotional system. So I'll be spending a lot of time doing that as well. Psychedelics, maybe, I'm not sure yet if I want to do psychedelics. Psychedelics can be quite disruptive of your meditation if you're doing a solid retreat. On the other hand, 30 days is a lot of time. So to meditate for 30 days straight is quite a lot. So maybe psychedelics will be used, sprinkled, interspersed in there to spice things up a bit. And that can also be very powerful. So we'll see how that goes. I'm mostly just interested in increasing my baseline level of consciousness at this point. So the psychedelics aren't that central to me anymore. I've gotten a lot of value from them, and I still will do psychedelics in the future, and I'll still get much value from them. I always get value from them when I do them. But for me, it's really about the practices and really cranking up my baseline level of consciousness. So that's what I'll be doing. I thought about shooting videos, but I probably won't, as far as vlogging during my retreat, because I just want to focus on going inwards. So I will not be doing any vlogging videos, I don't think, unless some huge breakthrough happens, in which case maybe I'll do one or two spontaneous ones. But what I will do is at the very end, of course, after I complete my retreat, I will gather up all my conclusions and insights and breakthroughs, and those I will share with you in sort of one video explaining how everything went and what I learned, and maybe how you could learn from my own experiences. So that's how it's going to go. I'm going to be preparing all of my own food. I will be driving to the grocery store, of course, because I didn't stock up on 30 days worth of groceries. That's way too difficult to do. So yeah, I will be driving to the grocery store and shopping. But even when I do that, when I'm in the car, when I'm shopping for groceries, I will still be meditating. I will still be maintaining mindfulness. And so that's how that's going to work. Let's see, what else? Yeah, I'm really excited actually about this next 30 days. It's both simultaneously exciting but also intimidating, because I know there's going to be a lot of suffering ahead. But I also know there's going to be a lot of amazing insights and breakthroughs, even if I don't have some massive awakening. There will still be more minor breakthroughs and insights that are still very profound. Those 15 days that I did in May, like, were really some of the biggest growth that I got in years. And so I anticipate that this here is going to be very powerful for me. And part of it is just because I feel like everything's been culminating to this point. All of my practices. It also feels like I'm overdue for some new awakening experiences. And that's very exciting. And also just, I feel like I'm at the point motivationally and emotionally now where it feels like I really am ready to get like really serious about embodying spirituality on a daily basis. To really get rid of a lot of the ego, deconstruct a lot of the ego. And I'm also feeling like I'm sort of at the end of a certain chapter in my life, because I've been doing actualized artwork for 5 years. And it feels like, in a certain sense, it's getting a little bit stale. I feel like I've sort of overcome many of the initial obstacles that came with starting this business, starting this channel, getting subscribers, releasing content that I like, releasing enough content that there's there, that there's enough of it there that it gives you a comprehensive view of spirituality and personal development. And so it feels like, you know, I'm getting to the end and that something new needs to come to really engage me next. And that's always been the case in my life, is I do something, I get involved with some kind of project or some kind of endeavor, whether it's improving my health or going to the gym or doing pickup or starting a business or starting actualize.org, something like this. And it lasts for a few years. Actually, actualize.org has been one of the longest projects that I've ever done. 5 years, that's quite a long time. But then there's sort of a natural closing. And you need to know when to close a certain chapter in your life and then move on to the next thing. And then, you know, the next chapter opens up and that becomes some new exciting thing. So now, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that I'm leaving actualize.org and that this is it. What I'm saying is that there's going to be sort of a rebirth, a renaissance of actualize.org. So what I'm sort of hoping to happen, I guess the ideal scenario, would be that I do these 30 days, I have amazing breakthroughs, experience, awakenings, and so forth. And really what I'm looking for is a radical stepping up in my level of consciousness and development and kind of moving on to the next stage of my life, the next chapter. And the next chapter is going to be a more spiritual chapter than this chapter was. Because really, this chapter that I've been working on was the business chapter. It was the life purpose chapter. It wasn't the enlightenment chapter. Now I really need to go to the next chapter and finally open up the enlightenment chapter. And of course, that doesn't mean that I leave actualize.org. The idea is always that I want to evolve and bring you guys along with me and bring my content up with me as I do this. And maybe also changing the format of my content, maybe doing more teaching in person rather than through videos, maybe doing a tour around the country, or maybe working on a book. So, you know, there's multiple different avenues that I could pursue. And at this point, I'm still not sure which way to go. I want to kind of let it unfold organically and let it be driven by the insights and developments that I have over the next 30 days. So that's the idea. I'm still very excited about teaching and sharing content. And I have, you know, have I run out of ideas for new videos? No, I have at least 150 outlines already in the works for videos. So it's 150 separate video topics. The way I work on new content nowadays is that I've sort of developed a new system where before I would work on one outline at a time. I would, you know, brainstorm various ideas and insights for one particular topic. Now what I do is now I'm simultaneously sort of just like working a little bit on 150 different outlines at once. And it's sort of this multi-threaded approach. And it actually works a lot better for the way that my brain and my mind work, is that I'm constantly thinking of a million different things at once, always interconnecting everything. So it's very non-linear. And so what I do is I just, every time I get some new idea for some particular topic, I kind of just jot it down into one of my outlines for some particular topic. And I keep adding to it and adding to it and adding to it. But this takes time. This takes months sometimes. You know, certain outlines that I'm creating take months to create. Some of them have been in the work for years, literally years, and I'm just kind of waiting for my mind to gel more stuff on that topic and to really get some juicy insights and then to interconnect it with stuff that I'm releasing. And then so the benefit of doing this way is that I can interconnect all these different 150 topics in an interesting way and it gives you much more of a bigger picture perspective. So there's a lot of stuff to talk about, and it's not just going to be a rehashing of non-duality or enlightenment. There's completely new topics that I haven't talked about ever before. And some of the most practical stuff that you'll hear me talking about is yet to come. So there's a ton of stuff, and I'm constantly excited. I haven't lost my motivation to teach this stuff or to do these outlines or videos. It's just that I'm the one thing that I learned about myself is that in order to be engaged with life, I always need some amount of newness. I'm always searching for new ways of doing stuff. I can't just like keep doing the same thing over and over and over again, even if it's successful. Like some people, they can just like maybe start a business and then their business is succeeding and they can just kind of like keep selling, I don't know, whatever they're selling. Let's say they're selling vacuum cleaners. And so they just kind of keep selling and selling vacuum cleaners like over and over again for like year after year after year for 40 years. Like I can't do that shit, right? For me, the whole point of my life and the whole point of my work is to constantly be innovating. It has to be new. I can't be just rehashing stuff that other teachers have said and talked about. Like, no, what needs to happen is like, I need to use my time in order to advance the cutting edge of spirituality and personal development and science and philosophy. That's what my life is about. And so that's a very, very different thing from just teaching standard material, right? So like there's two different types of teachers, you might say. There's the kind of teacher like maybe you might imagine your fifth grade math teacher. Your fifth grade math teacher has spent 40 years teaching the exact same set of math equations and math formulas and math teachings at the fifth grade level for 40 years. And like, he's happy doing that. I would never be happy doing that. For me, I always have to be teaching something new. And to be teaching something new, I always have to be researching and actually experimenting with this stuff. And it's not enough for me just to like read a new book, because I read new books all the time anyway, so that's not the issue. I'm always reading new books, but it's like I have to actually discover new stuff. And I'm not just interested in discovering new stuff that others have discovered. I'm actually interested in discovering new stuff that no one has ever discovered. And believe it or not, there's plenty of stuff within spirituality that no one has yet discovered and articulated via writing or via speech or via video. That's how deep this stuff is. This stuff is very deep, very broad. And it's not just about discovering new stuff, but it's also about interconnecting stuff and modernizing stuff, bringing it into the modern era. So with spirituality, you might say, well, Leo, but the Buddha scriptures, you know, they're so voluminous. They have all the teachings you could possibly want. What more could you want? Well, that's not true. Yes, the Buddhist scriptures contain a lot of amazing insights, and they may even have all the stuff you need to know if you're talking about meditation only. But I'm interested in a lot more than just meditation or enlightenment or non-duality. I'm interested in how do you interconnect that with neuroscience, with the cutting edge field of psychedelics and the new research that's being done there, with addiction recovery, with psychotherapy, leading cutting edge discoveries within psychotherapy, cognitive behavioral science, within sociology, within politics, within evolutionary theory, right? So I'm interconnecting spiritual insights with cutting-edge scientific insights. So you might think, well, Leo, you're not scientific at all. Actually, no. I'm very much pro-science. Even though I rant against science a lot, I'm actually very much pro-science. What I rant against within science is the corruption, the unscientific portions of science. That's what I rant against. So my whole thing is making science more scientific and then integrating spirituality, psychology, philosophy, science, all of it together. But also not just that, but also politics and understanding how government works, understanding how to build societies and how to be better leaders. So to me, all of this, combining it with new technology, various kinds of brain training machines and cutting-edge psychedelics and research chemicals and whatever else is out there. There's all sorts of exciting technology that's going to be coming online in the next 50 years, that it's going to improve your ability to meditate, to understand how the brain works, to diagnose diseases and problems. So, you know, it's not enough to just have a fixed set of teachings for how to become enlightened. That's not enough for humanity to do what it needs to do, and even for you individually to live the kind of life that you want to live. That's not enough. There's so much more to life than just non-duality. There's so much more to life than you'll discover if you read all of the Buddhist scriptures. Or even if you study all the spiritual traditions from the past, that's not going to cut it. Because society, technology, humanity is constantly evolving. It's changing. We're having to deal with new challenges. Stuff is getting more complex. And that's why spirituality is a constantly growing and evolving thing. It never stops. More and more needs to be integrated and interconnected. And this will keep going for thousands of years more. So, you know, don't think that we're like at the end of anything here. We're really just at the beginning. Humanity is just the beginning. We're just starting to awaken. We're just starting to see the first rays of light from a long period of being stuck in the Dark Ages. And we still are in the Dark Ages, but we're starting to see a few rays of light. But then we need to do a lot of work to really to spread that light throughout all of society. That work isn't just physical. It isn't just technological. It's also intellectual. In fact, first and foremost, it's intellectual. Before we can lay the governmental infrastructure, like the actual roads and bridges and fiber optic cables, which are going to interconnect the whole world, we first need an intellectual revolution. We need intellectual frameworks and foundations. And don't you think for a second that because you become enlightened and now you're in some state where you're not thinking a lot, you're out of your mind, so to speak, that somehow that now none of these problems that I'm talking about, that they're real problems. And that what I'm talking about is just mental masturbation or monkey mind. No. There needs to be serious intellectual framework and infrastructure built for all of mankind to be able to awaken. That's very, very important. And that's what actualize.org is. It's a lot of theory. It's a lot of concepts. And you should never confuse that with absolute truth or with awakening itself. But it's this theory. It's the frameworks that are necessary in order for people to be able to study spirituality properly in a holistic, integrated manner. And also to develop themselves, to understand spiral dynamics and the different developmental stages that exist, to understand the shadow and various problems that exist there, to think about how their spirituality is going to interconnect with their career, with their health, with their life purpose, with their political positions, with technology, new technology that's emerging, how we need to transform various institutions within society, like education, universities, government, corporations, and so forth. So there's an enormous amount of intellectual work that needs to be done here, more than I will be able to do in my lifetime. I will die before I finish doing all this work, even if I live to be 100 years old. So really, I mean, we need thousands of people doing this work, laying these intellectual foundations. In the same way that the current era that we're in, the sort of materialistic era that we're in, the scientific age of reason, the information age that we're in right now, the corporate business age that we're in right now, really the foundation for that was laid during the French Revolution in Europe, the European Enlightenment, which should not be confused with non-dual enlightenment, the European Enlightenment with figures like Voltaire and Rousseau and David Hume and John Locke. You know, many of these intellectuals and philosophers, they laid the foundation for modern liberal capitalist democracy, which you see in Britain, in Western Europe, in America, and has been spreading more and more throughout the world. These were intellectual, philosophical foundations that were laid first. You know, many kings and monarchs and tyrants were overthrown, which led to the modern age. And so those ideas are starting to run their course. Now we need a new set of ideas. We need a new enlightenment, the real enlightenment. And we need a scientific enlightenment. We need a philosophical enlightenment. We really need to transform how philosophy is taught. We need an enlightenment of our education system. We need an enlightenment of our political system. We need new forms of government beyond capitalism, and beyond standard Marxism. Marxism is quite outdated, right? So we need new stuff. The problem is that when people study spirituality, they get stuck. They get stuck thinking like, oh, well, Leo, you know, I'm reading my Buddhist scriptures and that's good enough for me. Or I'm just going to follow the Course in Miracles and I'm just going to like go through their A, B, C, 1, 2, 3, connect the dots formula and and that's going to be it. We're going to be good after that. No. These are very narrow approaches. There's nothing wrong with any of these per se, but they're just individual tools. And really, what we need is we need a much more broad framework. Very few spiritual teachers or schools at this point right now in the 21st century take an integral, holistic approach to spirituality and human development. Very, very, very few. Maybe there's one or two exceptions, but they're certainly not known by almost anybody. They're very niche, not very mainstream. The stuff that's mainstream is stuff that's basically thousands of years old or hundreds of years old. And people are following it like sheep. They're not thinking independently. One of the things that blows my mind the most is when I really look at the world and I see what's going on with people in the world, is that I look at it and even those people who are supposedly doing spirituality and consciousness work, the Buddhists, the yogis, the Hindus, I look at it and it's still so barbaric and it's still so short-sighted and it's still so little picture. And there's still so much stuff that's missing and that's not interconnected and it's not cutting edge. It's just not cutting edge stuff. It's at least hundreds of years old, if not thousands of years old. It doesn't integrate modern, for example, insights from psychology and psychotherapy. Modern insights that we're learning from psychedelics. And most of the stuff, most of the obstacles you're going to run across when you're doing spirituality is not going to be spiritual stuff. It's mostly going to be psychological baggage that comes up that needs to be processed. But a lot of these ancient spiritual traditions, because they were developed long before there was an official research field called psychology or sociology or anthropology or any of these kinds of ologies, these human sciences, you know, these human sciences are just 100 years old, oftentimes even less than that. So many spiritual schools just are completely ignorant of this. And then what's worse is that they justify to themselves and say, oh, Leah, well, we don't really need psychology or sociology or anthropology. We don't need any of this stuff because, you know, the Buddha became totally enlightened. And supposedly when you're totally enlightened, you figured out everything. Of course, this is total ignorance. That's not how it works. Because there's much more to it than just enlightenment. It's about figuring out how to live your life. There are amazing insights and techniques that have been developed over the last 50 years just within the modern self-help movement. I'm just talking about very simple stuff, material stuff like the Tony Robbins style teachings, Jim Rohn style teachings. There's a lot that many of you still need to learn from that. And really what needs to happen is that we need to integrate non-duality, all the spiritual traditions and religions across the entire globe, including the Hindus, the Buddhists, the Christians, the Muslims, the Aztecs, and all that, the Jews and everything. So integrate all that with non-duality, plus with science, with physics and with evolution, plus with all the social sciences like anthropology, sociology, psychology, plus with philosophy, plus with technology, plus with political science. What else am I forgetting? There's probably more, but at the very least, we need to integrate all of those. Oh, well, also, of course, very importantly, with self-help, basically, with Tony Robbins-style self-help. And now, when we integrate all of that, now we're really starting to get something. See? So that's sort of my vision of what I'm trying to accomplish here. Of course, we also need to massively reform science, the foundations of science, the metaphysical and epistemological foundations of science need to be completely reformed. And of course, we need to reform our entire culture as well. And of course, we need to change. Our entire nutritional system needs to change. Our entire educational system needs to change. So all of this, you know, and probably more that's still not coming to mind. There's so much of it. One of my biggest problems is that there's so much stuff here to integrate that I can't keep it all in my memory banks. It's too much. You know, you got to have thousands of pages of notes to interconnect all this stuff. It's quite challenging. It's way more challenging than just sitting on a cushion and becoming woke. Which is not to say that that's bad. You should definitely do that. You should definitely sit on a cushion and just become woke, which is what I'll be doing over the next 30 days, is just doing that. But there's also then a lot of work to be done integrating all this stuff together. Developing more sophisticated systems. And not sophisticated in the sense that they're more complex. It's not about complexity per se. It's not about mental masturbation, just developing a bunch of knowledge per se. All these things really are necessary if you really want a large chunk of mankind to wake up. It is not going to happen simply by spreading Buddhism across the world, or Christianity across the world, or even Neo-Advaita across the world, or Eckhart Tolle's teachings across the world. That's not going to do it. That's still far too limited if you really want all of mankind to wake up. If you want all of mankind to wake up, you gotta throw everything in the kitchen sink at this problem, including psychedelics, technology, you gotta reform the political system, the education, so everything I mentioned previously. You got to bring all that in. You got to reform corporate culture. You got to reform nutrition. Like, everything has to change. So this is a very massive project. So this project doesn't really end. But for me to really be able to do this, to contribute significantly to this project, first and foremost, I have to start with myself, you see. It's very tempting to go out there and try to change the world without first having conquered yourself, worked on yourself, really developed a strong connection with Teotl, developed a really strong Teotlized heart, really purified yourself, and really also spent a lot of time doing research and interconnecting all this stuff. Because one thing that the ancient sages and masters got really well was that they mastered themselves internally. They were pretty good at doing that through yoga and meditation and so forth. But what they weren't so good at is they weren't so good at then integrating all of that with various kinds of intellectual frameworks that are necessary to shape intellectual tradition and culture as a whole. You see, they kind of siloed themselves. Spiritual people became monks and yogis. They isolated themselves into monasteries and caves. Sure, they developed sophisticated systems of spiritual teaching. And sure, they spread their message across to millions and even billions of people in the end. But still, they separated themselves too much from government, from politics, from science, from philosophy, from other kinds of intellectual research. You see? And that creates a sort of fracturing or schism. And so there's a lot of work to be done to stitch all those together, to break apart those silos. If you really want this stuff to go mainstream, the way that, of course, it will inevitably go. So what I'm talking about here is I'm talking about the wave of the future of human development and the development of society, government, education, nutrition, philosophy, science, all of this. It's, to me, I think of it all as all one giant just movement forward, advancing forward. It's really just one arc of evolution that's happening with humanity. And so to be right on that cutting edge in this very holistic and integrated way, that's something quite new. Very few people have done that. Ken Wilber is one pioneer within this field. But even Ken Wilber really doesn't, there's still more. Like, for example, Ken Wilber doesn't integrate psychedelics because he's never done them himself, which is a shame because I think his work would benefit a lot from that. Now, of course, he's done a lot of integrating already, so I can't really blame the guy. He's done a massive amount of integration, so I'm really grateful for his work. It's amazing. But it doesn't stop. We need to take it and build upon it and go further and deeper and broader all at the same time. And we need to make it more mainstream so that other people know about it. So it's not just for nerds or for academics. So it's very tempting for me to go and run off and do all that while neglecting my own inner development. I have to strike a very delicate balance between the external work that I do and the internal work that I do. For those of you who have a sense of life purpose and who are ambitious and want to change the world, that's great. And those of you who want to help mankind to awaken, that's all great. I just want to caution you here to be very, very careful, because a lot of people have fallen into this trap, is that they go about doing that while neglecting their own inner development. You can only lead people to as high a place as you yourself have reached, and no higher. So if your ultimate vision is to lead people to very high places, you need to be able to first lead yourself to those very high places. And as you're leading lots of people, thousands and millions of people, and you're trying to have this big impact on culture and on society and on science and on politics, on government and on all this stuff, you got to be extremely careful, because the more influence you have, the more the devil in you will want to co-opt you and the truth within you to serve the devil's purposes. You see, this is natural. This is totally inevitable. So the more power and status you acquire, the more careful you have to be about all of your base materialistic desires and how easily corrupted you are by the devil. How much do you lust after sex, food, power, status, fame, all these sorts of things? These sorts of things, if you don't gain consciousness over them, they will corrupt you and make you a vehicle of the devil's bidding. And even though you might be teaching spirituality and you might think you're having a good effect, really what's going to happen is you're going to build an organization which is going to become a cult, which is going to become the next Christianity, the next Catholic Church, the next Buddhist dogma, you know, the next dogmatic yogic system, which is not going to be flexible enough and integral enough to really accomplish the ultimate aim that Teotl is shooting for, which is a total integration of everything, a total self-understanding. That's what Teotl wants. And that's what Teotl is ultimately going to get. But that's a very long-term vision. You know, that'll take millennia to accomplish all that. In the short term, though, there's going to be a lot of hiccups, a lot of obstacles, a lot of dead ends, and a lot of disasters that will befall us because people who do this work will not have sufficiently purified their own hearts, and therefore they will mislead others, and they will fall into temptation and wickedness and sin and depravity, and they will mislead their followers into doing the same. So I'm very mindful about not doing that myself, so I have to work on the devil within me before I can really actualize some of these big plans that I have going forward. Like, one of the things I've also been struggling with is with my own health. In the last few months, I had this sinus infection, which I'm still working on. I have some energy problems, some chronic fatigue problems because of my hypothyroid condition. And so I've been looking for ways to increase my health naturally. Because, you know, I've gone to doctors, I've tried various things, and nothing seems to really work, especially none of the traditional Western doctors. So, just in the last month, I've been starting to eat a lot more healthy and starting to take detoxing my body very seriously. And I'll be doing that basically over the next year because I can tell that for me to be able to accomplish this big vision that I have, one of the things that's going to hold me back is just that I don't have enough energy to do it, physical and mental energy to do it, unless I eat very cleanly. And that requires, for example, making sacrifices. I have to sacrifice my favorite foods and never eat them again in my entire life. And eat various kinds of nasty vegetables and stuff, drinking various kinds of nasty juices. And, you know, saying no to that for the greater good, you know, serving this mission. So, and improving my health, improving my immune system. So, you know, when you have a big vision, what you'll find is required is making sacrifices for it. And the way that you make these difficult sacrifices is that you make your vision so much more powerful than anything that you're giving up, that giving it up no longer seems like a big problem. You're happy to give it up because your vision of what you're going to get in return for it is so huge. See? And that's what the hero's journey is all about. It's about making sacrifices for some greater good. And actually, that's what makes you feel the best in life, is when you're on the edge, you're pursuing something new, something really worthwhile, something that would push mankind forward. And then to do that, you realize that you need to become a much better human being. In the same way that, you know, people have children, and I'm not speaking from experience here, but I can just imagine it, that the moment you have a child, in a certain sense, your whole life changes on that day, because now you have a whole new set of responsibilities. And in a certain sense, that child within you has to die because you have a real child to take care of. So your childish ego, you know, you can't keep your childish ego and also do what's necessary for your child. You have to make sacrifices on behalf of your child. You have to be more responsible. You have to quit doing stupid stuff the way you used to do when you were younger. You have to grow up. But also, at the same time, like, you look into the face of your newborn baby child and you realize that it's worth it for her or for him. Because, you know, that's something amazing to you. That's a miracle. That's worth it to you. So it's just like that with anything that the hero is doing. It's just like that if you're starting some new business, or you're trying to awaken the world, or you're leading a political movement or whatever, you're going to have to make sacrifices for it. And you're going to have to surrender yourself, because you yourself are your own greatest obstacle. You yourself are getting in the way. Have you noticed how many great politicians have ruined their careers by getting in their own way? Like, one that comes to mind to me is, for example, John Edwards. A few election cycles ago, John Edwards seemed like a decent politician. He was, like, on his way up. He could have even become president or vice president quite easily. But then, you know, he screwed it all up because he couldn't keep his dick in his pants. Destroyed his entire career because he couldn't keep his dick in his pants. Or Anthony Weiner, another politician from New York, you know, he also seemed like a very kind of up-and-coming, energetic, charismatic leader, and he had some, you know, progressive ideas for New York City, and he wanted to become, was it senator, or I don't know what he was running for. But again, he couldn't keep his dick in his pants, and he just screwed it up, you see? He could have had an amazing career where he could have, like, transformed millions of lives, changed New York, maybe he could have even become president, you know, really made a big impact on the world, really helped mankind, but he couldn't keep his dick in his pants, and now he just got out of prison, spent a whole year in prison for texting with a minor. You know, it's that kind of stupid stuff that just derails your whole life, derails your biggest vision, so you have to be very careful, whatever your vision is, whether it's starting a business or awakening the world, watch out, because the devil is still within you. You haven't purified the devil out of you yet. And so that devil will tempt you with all sorts of selfishness, basically. You yourself will get in your own way and sabotage yourself. So how do you prevent that? By doing these sorts of retreats that I'm about to do. By really going inwards, facing your own self, being really honest with your own limitations and problems, your own wickedness, really look at it. Come face to face with it. Suffer. Face suffering. These retreats, if you ever do one of these retreats, it'll be the most suffering you've ever done in your life. But the difference will be that it will be conscious suffering. Whereas most of your life, what you do is you do unconscious suffering. And when you do unconscious suffering, you don't learn anything, you don't grow. When you suffer consciously, that's when you really grow. And, you know, as you become more successful, more famous, more prestigious, you have more status, this is actually very necessary, these kinds of retreats, because these retreats make you humble. The suffering makes you humble. Otherwise, you can get a position in life where you become too comfortable. It becomes too easy. You're too famous. People kiss your ass too much. People agree with you too much. You feel like you've built this comfy nest for yourself, so now it's like, you know, you have a bunch of money, you have a bunch of sex, you have a house, you have two houses, you have a car, you have a family, everything's taken care of, and, you know, you have a big business, and it's all successful, and now, you know, you get too comfortable, and you forget what it's like at the bottom. You forget what it's like to suffer. That disconnects you from other humans around you, because other humans around you are suffering. You know, when you are in such a nice, cushy position for yourself in life, after a few years of that, you forget that suffering even exists anymore. And then you spend the rest of your life chasing pleasure and titillation and also avoiding suffering. And then it gets so bad that you could, you know, resort to all sorts of really dysfunctional pathological behavior just to avoid a little bit of discomfort and suffering in your life. And then, of course, that pathological behavior just snowballs and eventually it explodes into a giant supernova of suffering. And then things go bad for you. But this suffering that you do when you're avoiding suffering, that's unconscious suffering. And so you don't grow from it. So really what you need to do in life is you need to deliberately put yourself into challenging situations where you suffer consciously. Now, that doesn't mean that you cut your arms with a razor blade in some sort of dysfunctional teenage fashion. It doesn't mean that you inflict pain on yourself unnecessarily. What it means is that you just do the things that you know need to be done. That's really all you need to do. If you're doing the things that you know need to be done that are for the greater good, don't worry. Plenty of suffering will come your way from doing that. You'll have to face many fears, and you'll have to face your own inadequacies and incapacities and limitations. For example, when I do one of these retreats for 30 days, and I tell you guys that I'm going to do it for 30 days, and then I only last 15 days and I fail, you know, that gives me a lot of suffering because I know that I broke my own word, and I broke my word to you. So, you know, that kind of suffering, that's a good kind of suffering. Because that keeps me honest. Whereas if I wanted to, you know, I could go buy a $1 million house on some tropical island and just live there, surround myself with beautiful women, go through some new hot woman every month and just rake in more and more money, you know, start some big advertising campaign, sucker in a bunch of newbies, earn a bunch of money, sell them a bunch of cheap self-help products or whatever, and just become rich and fat and lazy on my tropical island living in my $1 million house. You know, I could do that. But eventually that would explode into a supernova of terrible suffering. And also if I did that, then I wouldn't be able to really get the higher level fulfillment that I would get if I executed on my hero's journey and I did the stuff that I know Teotl wants done. See, Teotl wants certain things done. And so your job in this life is to make yourself a vessel, a vehicle for Teotl's work. And the best vessels for Teotl's work are those that are fully purified of their own egotism, so that they're not getting in their own way, so that Teotl can work through you like a superconductor. Remember that analogy, that idea I talked about in the past? You want to become a superconductor for the energy of Teotl to work through you. And that's how you have the most fulfilling, most beautiful life, is if you can do that. But what you have to realize is that that is not an easy thing. That's not an easy thing to do. You will suffer for it. But the consolation is that it's going to be a good kind of suffering, not the bad kind of suffering that you get by avoiding things you need to do. It's the good kind of suffering. And not only will you get the good kind of suffering, but you will also get an enormous pleasure and ecstasy and a feeling of fulfillment and profundity that you would never otherwise get if you just chose the easy life. So this is not the easy life we're talking about. Doing Teotl's work is not the easy life. What do I mean by this? What's an example of this? Gandhi is a great example of this. And I'm not saying Gandhi didn't have his problems. I'm sure Gandhi had many problems. But what I'm saying is that overall, if you look at the arc of Gandhi's life and what Gandhi was doing, and if you don't know what Gandhi was doing, you should go read his biography. I'll read biographies about him. It's very inspiring. But this is what Gandhi was basically doing. And he really walked his talk. Really walked his talk. He made a lot of sacrifices. You know, he was jailed. He was beaten. He was near killed many times. And eventually he was killed. That's right. Because transformative people who really want to advance the cutting edge of society, and who really want to make a big splash in the world, a lot of them end up getting killed because there's a collective ego backlash against them. Very understandable. You know who killed Gandhi, by the way? Gandhi was killed by a Hindu nationalist. Not by a Muslim, but by a Hindu nationalist. Because India and Pakistan at that time, they separated when India was gaining its independence. This was like in the early 20th century. So it was all under British colonial rule. Gandhi's whole mission was to gain Indian independence. He accomplished that, but as soon as that was accomplished, because India has a lot of Muslims and Hindus in it, there quickly became the problem of, well, is our government going to be a Hindu government or a Muslim government? And so they couldn't agree about that, so they basically created two states. They created India and Pakistan. India was the Hindu government, and Pakistan was the Muslim-run government. And Gandhi was basically in agreement with this. He was for sort of a two-state solution. But he was assassinated by a Hindu nationalist because that nationalist perceived Gandhi as being a traitor to Hinduism because he wanted even the Muslims to be basically under the yoke of Hinduism. You see? So this just shows you, you know, people love to hate. And people love to hate, especially those who are most tolerant and who are most loving. So that's just a little tangent aside there. But the point here being is that there are definitely sacrifices to living this kind of hero's journey life. But at the same time, it's the most rewarding because you're engaged with life. The most miserable life is when you're just working at Starbucks your whole life. And that's all you do. And there's like no future prospects for you. Your job is just like making people's coffee, which is going to make no impact on the world. In fact, even worse, you're addicting people to coffee and just fattening them up with sugar, destroying their health. And then you're depressed and miserable and you just live a very mediocre life. Right, because you were born into this world, and at some point in your life, you chose to just kind of phone it in and be a hack in life and not to do anything amazing, not to do anything important, and not to make yourself a vehicle of Teotl. You see, Teotl doesn't want you to be standing in a Starbucks pouring coffee for 40 years straight. That's not what Teotl wants. That's what you became because you have refused Teotl's call. And of course, most people don't even know what Teotl is, or that there is such a possibility of a call. So that's mostly why they get sucked into something like that. They don't know any better. But you, because you're listening to me, and you should know better, because we've talked about this stuff a lot. Go check out my episode called The Highest Hero's Journey, where I talk about that. And also check out my Life Purpose course, which is all about that. So anyways, I've gone on too long here. Hopefully this gives you a little idea of what I'm doing, what my vision is for the future, and now it's time for me to begin the inner work. And I'll report to you how that goes, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And fear not, because there's still more videos to come. Actualize.org is not over. I will be back soon.